sporty greetings to our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to another expanded 30-minute edition of The Sunny Side of Sports.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
The Confederation of African Football, CAF, announced Friday that Equatorial Guinea will replace Morocco as host of the 2015 Nations Cup tournament. In a statement, CAF said it wants to express its sincere thanks to the people of Equatorial Guinea, its government, and President Teodoro Obiang and Nguema Mbasogo for hosting African football's premier competition. Equatorial Guinea will now have 9 weeks to prepare. The Africa Cup of Nations kicks off on January 17th and goes through February 8th. Keep in mind, VOA football fans, oil-rich Equatorial Guinea, one of Africa's smallest countries with a population of just over 600,000, co-hosted the 2012 Nations Cup with Gabon. During that tournament, Equatorial Guinea used Bata and the capital, Malabo, as venues. Those two port cities will be used again in January, along with the eastern city of Mongomo on the mainland and Ebebeyin, also on the mainland, in the northeast. Also keep in mind, VOA football fans, CAF disqualified Equatorial Guinea in July from the 2015 Nations Cup qualifying competition for fielding an ineligible player. But that's now forgotten, and Equatorial Guinea earns an automatic berth as host of the 16-team tournament. CAF says the draw for the finals will be held December 3rd in Malabo. The announcement of Equatorial Guinea as the new host comes ahead of the penultimate round in 2015 African Nations Cup qualifying. African football guru David Legg joins us once again this evening to break down Saturday's 12 qualifiers, and David will go group by group.
Group A, we've got in Durban, South Africa and Sudan, and in Pointe Noire, we've got Congo, Brazzaville and Nigeria. Now, Sonny, I wish I had $1, just $1, for every email I have received from Nigeria in the last couple of weeks asking me to explain, will the Super Eagles make it, how will they make it, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I've had to go back to school, basically, and do an advanced course in mathematics. The simplest advice I have to the Nigerian team and their coach, Stephen Keshi, is just win your last two games. Win in Congo and win at home against South Africa in Uyo in a magnificent stadium, Sonny. I watched the opening of the stadium. It's down there in the southeast of the country. They played Ghana last weekend, and the stadium, it's undoubtedly one of the best in Africa, and I salute all Nigerians. This is a stadium they can be truly proud of. But the more immediate and probably the tougher task of the two for me is that match in Congo-Brazzaville. Now, Congo, as every Nigerian knows well by now, they came to Calabar and they shocked the Super Eagles by 3-2. And basically, if Congo can get a draw from that match, they'll be well-placed to qualify, whereas the Nigerians, they really need to win, Sonny. Otherwise, those calculators, the batteries are going to run out. It's going to get too complicated. South Africa, on the other hand, their case is more straightforward. If they beat Sudan in Durban in a match that's really all about the late Senzo Maiwa, the match has been moved from Nelspruit to Durban because that's where Maiwa was born. And, of course, Maiwa was the national goalkeeper and captain who was gunned down several weeks ago during an armed robbery at the home of a girlfriend close to Johannesburg. And that's both a good thing and a bad thing, Sonny. I'm sure you'll agree with me. These emotional situations can work both ways. It's certainly going to put a lot of pressure on the South Africans. They're playing for Senzo, and they know that the public, there is great expectation. They want to see a big victory. But in their previous two home games, South Africa drew 0-0 with Nigeria and 0-0 with Congo. So they've not won, and they haven't scored a goal. And my concern is, if that match against Sudan is goalless, with, say, 30 minutes left, I could see a heavy dose of nerves coming in. The team, they've already visited the grave of Sendo, and the coach, Sheikh Mashaba, he's hoping that that will bring closure to the event. But he's been the first to admit that this one is all about the mind. There's no doubting the ability of the South Africans. They won 3-0 in Khartoum, so they should be capable of beating the Sudan at home, perhaps by a lesser margin. But so much depends on the mental state of the players. Sonny, Group B is a lot less complicated. We know, for example, that Algeria have already qualified, and they're at home to Ethiopia. Algeria are the only team with a perfect record in the competition so far. Played 4, won 4. They're carrying on that good form they showed at the World Cup when they reached the second round, and they took the eventual champions, Germany, to extra time. So the issue in Group B really is all about who finishes runners-up. And a match that's crucial to that will be in Blantyre between Malawi and Mali. A win for Mali will basically secure second place for them, but a win for Malawi will really throw this second place issue into the melting pot. On to Group C, Sonny, and here we've got in Maseru, it's Lesotho against Burkina Faso, and in Luanda, it's Angola against Gabon. Now, Gabon and Burkina Faso are looking good in this group. They've got 8 and 7 points, respectively. Angola have only got 4 and Lesotho 2. And really, if Angola are to have any chance of making the top 2, they will have to beat Gabon in Luanda. On the other hand, if Burkina Faso can get a draw in Lesotho, they should stay on course. We've spoken about Sierra Leone and Ivory Coast in Group D. The other match in Group D, very crucial game between Cameroon and the Democratic Republic of Congo in Yaoundé. The Democratic Republic of Congo, their form has been nothing short of bizarre. They've played 2 home matches, and they've lost both of them. They've played 2 away matches, and they've won both of them, including a very meritorious 4-3 triumph over Ivory Coast in Abidjan. Only the second country since 1967 to go to Abidjan and beat the Ivorian elephant. And now the question is, can DRC complete a hat-trick of away wins and go to Cameroon and win there? And there's a real battle on, Sonny, for second place in that group. Cameroon still looking good with 10 points. DR Congo and Ivory Coast, 6 points each. And Sierra Leone with just a solitary point. Another country who can secure a place in the finals are Ghana if they go to Kampala and they beat the Ugandans. But it's not going to be that easy because Ghana were held 1-1 at home by the Cranes. And the Cranes, who haven't been to the finals since 1978, they're desperate for a victory. They're away in their last match. So really, this is a win-or-bust game for the Ugandan Cranes. Togo, on the other hand, they're being the revelation of Group E. They started with 2 defeats, but then they beat Uganda home and away. And if they beat Guinea in Lomé on Saturday, they will definitely qualify quarterfinals. And of course, the Togolese danger man, as always, that beanpole of a striker, Emmanuel Adebayor from Tottenham Hotspur. In Group F, we know that Cape Verde have qualified, irrespective of what happened in the final 2 rounds. And the interesting scenario, Sonny, is that if Mozambique beats Zambia in Maputo, it's almost certain that the shock 2012 African champions will not make the 2015 finals. It would mean that Zambia could at best finish 3rd, and then they would hope to get that one place reserved for the best 3rd-place team. But with 8 points, I doubt if that will be enough for them. So a huge match in Maputo. It's a Southern African derby. Mozambique Mambas. Mambas are the snakes against the Zambian Copper Bullets. And in Pry, off the west coast of Africa, Cape Verde Islands at home to Niger. Having won 3-1 in Niamey, you would fancy the Cape Verdeans to beat Niger a second time. And then in Group G, after Botswana and Tunisia on Friday, a huge match, Sonny, one of the biggest of the weekend on Saturday in Cairo between Egypt and Senegal. Suffice to say that record 7 times champions Egypt, they have to win this game. I don't think there's any ifs or buts about it. They've got a very tough final game away to Tunisia. So this is their chance to get 3 points, get up to 9 points, and possibly sneak into the finals as the best 3rd-place team. But it's not going to be easy. Senegalese, a good team, unlucky to lose away to Tunisia. They were dominant at home to Egypt in a 2-0 victory. So, yeah, record seven times champions Egypt, Sonny, up against it. So really a fascinating weekend of football coming up.
Coming up next, David, is VOA's Downtown Brown with our English Premier League football question of the week.
Hey, it's VOA's Downtown Brown, and I'm back again with question of the week. The question was, Senegalese striker Defari Shako is off to a sensational start with West Ham United. He scored in his first six starts for the Hammers and was named EPL Player of the Month for October. This week is a two-part question. The first part was, what do you think about his performance so far? And how many goals do you think he'll score this season? We have a couple winners this week. The first one goes out to Augustin Igwe from Nigeria, who said, Shako has done absolutely wonderful. I wish him well. I think he will score 21 or 22 goals, and that will not be a bad idea. The next winner is Chabot De Striker from Nigeria, who said he can score at least 13 goals with his wonderful performance. And last winner is Onwe Chikizi Obina from Lagos, Nigeria, had a couple points to state his reason why. The first one was his performance has been splendid, no doubt, surprised expectation. The second point he had was, one cannot say his precision with the number of goals he will score, but provided he's safe from injuries and maintain his form, I see him scoring a double digit, saying 15 goals. Soccer news, David Beckham's son, Brooklyn Beckham, is rumored to sign with an English Premier team at the age of 15. Mesut Ozil from Arsenal is not coming back until January 15 with his recent knee injury. For Manchester United, Robin Van Persie has a minor injury and will return next match. Raphael has a muscular injury and there is a doubt he will return for next match. Falcao should be ready to go for his next match. Manchester City, Vincent Kompany has a muscular injury and should be back by November 22nd. David Silva should be fit and ready to go by November 30th. From Chelsea, Cesar Fabregas has injured his hamstring and there is no return date so far. Andrew Schurrle is still out with an illness and there is also no return date. And we'll try to keep you up to date on recent soccer stories and soccer injuries on facebook.com/VOASunny. Friendly games to watch over the weekend: England versus Slovenia, USA versus Colombia, France versus Albania. And check your local listings for the time. I'm VOA's Downtown Brown, and that's the sunny side of sports.
Hi, I'm Segun Adeyemi, coming to you all the way from Lagos, Nigeria. Weekends are for sports. Nightline Africa Sports, that is. And every Sunday, I'll give you highlights of the top sports stories of the past week and the weekend. Nightline Africa Sports from the Voice of America. Let the games begin.
We got the game on.
This is for the world.
Game on, VOA sports fans. Our football guru in Johannesburg, David Legg, returns now to our Voice of America airwaves. David, let's turn to Europe. And can you take a look at some of the recent African goal-scoring highlights?
Sonny, I don't know if the sunny side of sport has an effect on these players. We were only complimenting the guys in England last week on the show for all the goals they were scoring. So what did they do? None of them scored this weekend. Not a single African goal in the English Premier League. Shame on them all. It's just not good enough, Sonny. We'll have to, you're going to have to get on the line to a few of those African stars. But better news from Spain. We had a couple of African goals in La Liga. TV Bafuma, who plays for Congo Brazzaville, he's got one of the most amazing Mohican haircuts you've ever seen, Sonny. try and catch a look at that. Mm. It looked like he got an electric shock and his hair suffered as a result. He scored Sonny for Almeria against Barcelona, but unfortunately it wasn't enough because Neymar was one of the scorers for Barcelona in a 2-1 victory. But nevertheless, well done to Bissouma for his goal. And the other African scorer in Spain was Nordine Amrabat. He's a Moroccan, and he scored one of the goals for Malaga in their 2-1 victory over Eibar in La Liga. And I'm also happy to report we've got an African goal scorer in Italy. It was that veteran Mali star, Seydou Keita. He scored the second of three goals as Roma hammered Torino by 3-0. So, yeah, it's now, I think, Sonny, up to those all those African stars in England to start hitting the net again so we can report on their exploits.
And speaking of England, David, why don't you take a look at the Premier League for us and the current table?
Yes, Sonny, Chelsea out on top, 29 points. I'm very sad as a Liverpool supporter to report that they went to Anfield at the weekend, came from behind to win 2-1. But on the sunny side of sport, you have to be objective. And I must say, Chelsea fully deserved their victory. They're a class act, Sonny, and their consistency alone is confirming for me that they are the team to beat in the Premier League this season. But still in second place against all the odds are Southampton. Now, they're a team you normally associate with the bottom half of the table, but they beat Leicester City by 2-0, and they're closer to Chelsea. They're 4 points behind. And they actually have the best defense in the English Premier League, just 5 goals conceded in 11 matches. Now, that's really good form from a team, really. I mean, if you were to ask me who are the stars of Southampton, I don't, Sonny, have any names for you. The stars are the team, really. That's what it's all about. It's teamwork. They just don't have the big names like Oscar and Hazard and Drogba.
Hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
But they're clearly working very well as a team. Third are the defending champions, Manchester City, with 21 points. They drew 2-2 at Queen's Park Rangers. And fourth, another big surprise, West Ham United. They only managed a draw at the weekend, but still a club that last season, at one stage, looked like a very serious relegation candidate. So well done to the team from London, who are known as the Hammers. And another side doing well, they're actually just behind West Ham on goal difference, are Swansea City. And they came from behind at the weekend to beat Arsenal by 2-1. The only real surprise there was that Wilfred Bonny, the Ivorian who so often scores for Swansea, he didn't score this time round. Many Manchester United supporters around the world. And I can tell you that at the moment they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. They are playing, Sonny, 7th. I wasn't trying to stress anything by counting them out. They're on 16 points, Sonny. But the interesting thing and the encouraging thing for all you Manchester United supporters is they're only 2 points off 4th place. Now, 4th place, as I've said so often on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
That's the crucial position because that is the last of the 4 places for Champions League football. So not particularly great form, Sonny. 4 wins, 4 draws and 3 defeats under their new coach, Van Gaal. But nevertheless, United, I would imagine their aim this season, Sonny, is not the title. I think that's going to Chelsea. But their definite aim would be European football. They need European football because, first of all, that's where basically they belong. And secondly, because of the money involved, it brings in a huge amount of revenue from marketing, from advertising, from TV rights. At the wrong end of the table, Sonny, Burnley finally celebrated their first victory. They beat Hull City by 1-0, but they remain on 7 points. QPR have got 8, and Leicester and Crystal Palace on 9 points each. If we now switch to Spain, Real Madrid are out in front, 27 points. Barcelona have got 25. Valencia, 24, defending champions Atletico Madrid, and Sevilla with 23 points each. So again, very encouraging in Spain. Those old days of a two-horse race between Real and Barcelona, for now anyway, appear to be over, with some real competition coming from Valencia, Seville, and Atletico Madrid. And that's only good for football. In Italy, business as usual, I suppose, in that the top of the table, it's Juventus and Roma. Juventus, 28 points. Roma, 25. And then you've got Napoli with 21 and Sampdoria with 20. Now, last season, it essentially was a race between Juventus and Roma, and hopefully one or two other clubs this year will make it an even more interesting race. Interesting point, Sonny, that Juventus, while they do tend to battle in Europe, they recently lost to Olympiakos in Greece. They're pretty dominant in recent years in Italy, and even at this early stage of the season, they would have to be favourites for another league title.
David, the nominees for the 2014 African Player of the Year and Africa-based Player of the Year were recently announced. Can you take a look at the names for us?
Yes, I mean, let's go through that Africa Player of the Year list. That, of course, is the most prestigious of the tournaments. That's open to all African footballers playing in Africa and playing abroad. And I'll just quickly zip through those 25 names, giving the surname of the player and the country. We've got Moussa from Nigeria, Guyane from Ghana, Ndoye from Senegal, Adebayo from Togo, Choupo-Moting from Cameroon, Ben Youssef and Sassi from Tunisia, Javino from Ivory Coast, Slimani from Algeria, Asamoah from Ghana, Ben Attia from Morocco, El Neni from Egypt, Aubameyang from Gabon, Mboli from Algeria, Mane from Senegal, Keita from Mali, Feghouli from Algeria, Mbia from Cameroon, Serrero from South Africa, Abubakar from Cameroon, Enyema from Nigeria, Boni from Ivory Coast, Brahimi from Algeria, Balassi from the Democratic Republic of Congo, and the defending champion, the man who's won the title three times in a row, Yaya Toure from Manchester City and Ivory Coast.
And David, what about the Africa-based Player of the Year nominees?
Right, Sonny, there, let's zip through the list as well. Gamal of Egypt, Fattori of Libya, Parker and Indulula from South Africa, Njanit from Algeria, Echite from Nigeria, Delamiri from Algeria, Ben Youssef and Sassi from Tunisia. Now, they are the only players, Sonny, that are in both lists. Carrying on, you've got Mubele from DR Congo, Massa from Uganda, Kasusula from DR Congo, Bidibu from Congo Brazzaville, Mabidi from DR Congo, Al-Tayeb from Sudan, Asali from Ivory Coast, the late Senzo Mayiwa from South Africa, Ashanti from Ghana, Musa from Cameroon, and lastly, but by no means least, the young Ugandan striker, Sentamu. Now, looking at these lists, Sonny, as far as I'm concerned, the African Player of the Year, it's not really a question of who's going to win. That would be Yaya Toure again. It's a question of who's going to finish second. And I think some of the contenders could include Javino, the Ivorian, who plays very well for Roma in Italy, Aubameyang, the Gabon striker, who scores goals regularly for Borussia Dortmund, Vincent Enyema, definitely the best goalkeeper in Africa. He plays for Lille in France and, of course, also captain of the Super Eagles. And I think you cannot exclude Algeria from that list. And perhaps it could be Yassine Brahimi. He's been playing very well, both for Algeria, but also for Porto in Portugal. But to me, Sonny, Yaya Toure, outright favourite. He's the colossus of African football in Europe. And he's going for a record. First of all, he would equal the record of Samuel Eto'o if he wins, of four titles. But Samuel Eto'o didn't win four in a row, and that is what Toure is going for. He's going for his fourth consecutive title, and that would be a tremendous achievement. Now, if we look to the African-based players, among those who stand out for me are Janet. He played very well for Anton Satif, the African club champions. The fact that Ben Youssef and Sassi of Tunisia, they both played for Sfaxien, are on both lists, obviously indicates that there is a lot of support for them. I think Mubele, he scored some vital goals for Vita on their way to the Champions League final. Mabidi of Vita, he scored three goals in the final itself, and two of them were absolutely superb efforts. And no sentiment, Sonny. Strictly on merit, I think Muyiwa must be considered. The reasons? He played outstandingly well for Orlando Pirates. And then for South Africa, he played in four Africa Cup of Nations qualifiers, did not concede a single goal, and almost single-handedly ensured that South Africa won 2-0 in Congo, Brazzaville. South Africa scored twice early in the second half. And then really it was Congo versus Muyiwa. And it's to the eternal credit of the late Senzo Muyiwa that he held the Congolese at bay. I'm not going to say that he's going to win the title, but I certainly think he would be maybe in the top five or six contenders for it.
Thanks, David. That's our African football guru, David Legg, speaking with us once again from Johannesburg, South Africa. Now let's go to New Delhi, where Anjana Pasricha has a report on a new Indian football league.
Indian football's brief, glorious moment came nearly six decades ago when it stood fourth in the 1956 Olympics. Since then, the game has suffered a huge decline, except in a handful of places like Kolkata and Goa, where local clubs command enthusiastic fan followings. Now, the high-profile eight-team Indian Super League, promoted by business magnates, top Bollywood stars and cricket celebrities, is trying to revive the game at home. The ICL's plan is simple. Place a handful of aging international football stars on the teams to entice the millions of young people who are avid followers of televised European League games to back their Indian version. The aim? To turn football into a lucrative commercial venture similar to cricket, whose countrywide fan following has turned it into a multi-billion dollar industry. Well-known football commentator and writer Novi Kapadia says the football matches played over the last month have rekindled interest in the game.
It has brought the crowds back at all the venues, and even in venues like Mumbai and Delhi, which traditionally did not really have, did not really support football big time. So that is a welcome sign. But of course, a lot of these are this new generation of supporters, not the traditional fans of Indian football. So many of them have come because of the enticement of these, the glamorous names like a Del Piero or a Lundberg.
Young football fans like 29-year-old Gaurav Dheer in New Delhi, who are avid followers of international football, have taken note of the Indian Super League.
That was good to see a lot of foreign talent also coming to India and playing and it being marketed properly. And the matches are fairly interesting. They're quite open and it's been fun so far. But you have to see in the future how the league takes shape.
Sports enthusiasts admit that huge challenges lie ahead. India's national team is a dismal 158th in the world rankings. Sports infrastructure is poor. The country does not have a grassroots development program to nurture local football talent. And unlike cricket, the game has produced no iconic players. And although the presence of glamorous Bollywood stars and cricket icons cheering on their teams at stadiums has attracted attention, many wonder if this will be enough to build a following for the Indian game. Another young football fan, Dhruv Vohora in Mumbai, says he watched some ICL matches but could not sustain his interest because there were important English Premier League matches at the same time. So far, that is where his first loyalty lies.
If I see that a lot of my friends who played football in school and college were able to participate in this event, or if not in this event, but at least, you know, have some practice sessions or coaching sessions with these guys, it would just kind of build up interest.
Novi Kapadia says the Indian Super League is a step in the right direction, but admits that many questions remain. He says the crucial test will come in the next season.
You know, will this then, this younger crowd, attachment anyways only to European clubs, will it really extend to Indian football is to be seen. For one, obviously that standard is way above anything we can even dream of reaching. What is encouraging is that definitely football is coming out as the number two sport. Now, just now it's curiosity, excitement to see, will this be sustained for, second year, third year? That is really the crucial fact.
That is the gamble team owners and sponsors have taken as they invest millions of dollars in the ICL. They are confident that although they may sustain losses for some time, they ultimately will be able to tap into a thirst for local football in a market of 1.2 billion people that has been called the sleeping giant of the world's most popular sport. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
I'm VOA's Sunny Young.